Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. And I hope you're all feeling much better this weekend as you were last weekend, as the United States has pulled a very, very convincing, large, however you want to put it, it's a big lead in the Olympic.
It's over, is what it is. There's no chance of anybody getting as many goals or as many, and that was as of last night. We had 102 total.
Yeah, it looks like
medals.
We have 103 now, and the next.
Well, that, you know what, Jake Varner, two-time Iowa State. 197-pound national champion just won a gold medal. Thank you very much. He's only the baddest dude in the world now. Jake Varner, congratulations, Jake. And watch the freestyle wrestling because it's going to be on the rest of the day. Sorry I ruined that for everybody, but you know what? I'm a wrestling coach. I was a college wrestler. And I got to tell you something. There is no more demanding sport than wrestling. I'm just telling you, and anybody that's ever known a high school wrestler or even a little kid that wrestles will tell you that they get in the best shape they've ever been in. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We are moving out today. Now, listen, I want to catch everybody up. For all you golfers out there, or if you know Bill Murray, gophers, hey, Sandy, won't they lock me up and throw away the key if I kill all the golfers? Rory McIlroy leads. After three rounds, he shot a 5-under at the end. You know, they got serious storm rolled in to Kiawah Island. And I got to tell you, I'm very familiar with the course. I played it. I spent a week down there at the Ryder Cup in 1991. I was right next to the green, had a perfect view of Bernhard Langer's putt that he missed that would have tied it and sent it into if he had made that putt, the Europeans Ryder Cup team would have kept the Ryder Cup. But because he missed that putt, everybody went crazy. And I got to tell you, the wind was blowing 25, 30 miles an hour that day. They were hitting driver. Now, you got to remember, this is 21 years ago. And the equipment was totally different 21 years ago. The balls were totally different. And they were hitting driver, some of the guys were, into the last par three. At Kiawah, and it was a beautiful place, but somebody made the statement earlier this week that to go from the green at 9 to the tee box on number 10 was a $20 New York cab fare. I mean, it literally took 15 minutes for me, and I walked very fast, and back then I walked even faster because I was 21 years young at the time, 21 years younger. My wife, Carol, came down. She spent the week there, never saw the course. She had my 1.5-year-old Davis with her. They hung out at the pool. And the neatest thing about that tournament to me was I got the heck out of Dodge. I went back, took a shuttle back, got back to the we had a condo. It was like a townhouse. And all of a sudden, like, we're standing out there celebrating. And, you know, I didn't even drink then. That was 21 years ago, so I hadn't had a drink for 7 years. But I was having a Kool-Aid or something. my wife, I'm sure, was having a cocktail or two. And I looked through the trees next to us, Roy, and you could see these little red cars. And everybody was beeping their horn. And I'm going, what the heck is that? So we walked through the trees to the condos on the other side in another development right next to us. Guess who was coming in? The entire U.S. team.
Oh, that's cool.
Along with Dave Stockton, their coach, their captain. And the first thing that happens when we get there is it's me, Carol, my son Davis, and about 10 other people that just happened to be there because nobody knew these guys were even staying there. I did not have any film. It was before we had phones that you could take 8,000 pictures. And I didn't have any film in my camera, but Jerry Pate grabbed my son, out of my hands and started like running around with him, holding him up in the air. And Davis had this big grin on his face. He put him on his shoulders, grabbed his hands, and started dancing. Dave Stockton walked up to me and goes, "Hey, son, can you hold this for me?" He hands me the freaking Ryder Cup trophy. It's about the size. I have 50 trophies bigger than this. The Ryder Cup is probably a foot tall, Roy, 12 inches tall. It's a tiny little trophy, beat up as hell, but it was beautiful, and you could, you know, it had everything on it. Already had the name, their name engraved on it. You know, United States. Well, it, you know, it's not too tough, but they had to wait till the last minute to do it. Well, anyway, I had that Ryder Cup trophy in my hand for about 20 minutes. And after a while, I started getting real nervous with this trophy in my hand because I really couldn't do much except for secure the trophy and make sure I didn't drop it. So I found Coach Stockton and gave it back to him. He goes, "Oh, I was wondering what I did with that thing." And they were already drinking champagne. Freddie Couples was there with his former wife, who actually committed suicide not long after. That's kind of a downer. Her name was Debbie. She was pretty cool. And then the Payne Stewart was with him, and Payne Stewart had Freddie on his shoulders. Payne Stewart had everybody on his shoulders, but they're all men. Pate, smart enough to just have my son Davis on his shoulders. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS in New York. And if you're listening to me from wherever, give us a call. The number you want to call is area code 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. I want to know who you think is going to win this PGA tournament today. Golfers, get off your butts. I know you're not playing golf. Anytime you get a chance to watch this much golf in one day of a major, you stay home, you know, you cook at home, you know, you send the wife to the grocery store, you get ribeyes, you get fillets, you get chicken, you get ribs, and you cook all day because they're going to be playing golf until you can't see the ball on number 18 green. I'm just telling you, they will, because they've got, you know, there's still guys out on the course playing the third round right now. And by the way, for all you Tiger haters out there that think he's just choked his way back to where, you know, he needs to be, he just did lose. He lost a stroke. He actually made up 3 strokes. He was minus 3 about 5 minutes ago. Just finished 17, where he made bogeys minus 2. And guess who he's tied with? Vijay Singh, who actually they started together.
Yeah, they played together.
They played together yesterday, and they are tied at 2 under. And there are 2 other guys at 2 under. Peter Hansen has already finished some time ago. He's 2 under. Steve Stricker, who I love, and I'd love to see Steve. He shot 5 under par yesterday, a 67. That was the best, tied for the best score yesterday at Kiawah Island. Let me just tell you, Kiawah Island is a monster course. Plus, it doesn't take long to get the wind whipping there. And what they were saying is the wind very rarely is either behind you or in your face. It's all crosswinds. So you got to work your fade. You got to work your, you know, your draws. You got to work your straight ball. You got to work your, you know, your low irons. It's just as much trouble with the wind helping you as it is with the wind hurting you. As a matter of fact, most guys have more of a problem taking off yardage with their clubs than they do adding on. Does that make sense to you, Roy?
Yeah.
Like if it's a 3-club wind and I'm hitting it 150 yards, I hit a 150-yard shot with a 9-iron. I have for 30 years, okay? I haven't changed at all. When I was really good way back, I used to hit wedge 150, and all the great golfers then would say, because this is the way great golfers work, "You know, you must be hooding that club because nobody hits a wedge 150 yards. Well, yeah, guess what? Bubba Watson hits a wedge 200 yards. He hit a 9-iron 224 yards with a little bit of wind behind him yesterday. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. For the first time in generations, people, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here, guys, and we're going to get into a little bit of basketball here in a little bit as Team USA is taking on Spain at the moment. And they went from down 2 to, what is it now? They're up 9. Now it's 25-16 against a very good Spanish team.
They must have given the points in this game as opposed to shaving them like they did against, who was that they were losing to?
Lithuania.
Lithuania lost to Russia.
Yeah, Russia won the bronze.
I don't care. They're not an NBA All-Star team.
They have NBA players on this.
You're never going to convince me in a million years that these guys don't have friends over there betting their butts off
on all
these games.
That's fine. But
that's just my thought.
The Spanish team actually has a lot of pros on it.
This is America, and I can use my intellect to state the obvious. These guys are playing games with a point spread. I'm just telling you. There's no doubt in my mind. Hey, you know what? If they're really a great team, why not go out and beat everybody by 50? I mean, see how many points you got. How many guys are on their roster? Can you pull it up for me, Roy?
Just because they're very
Roy,
good
just
doesn't
be
mean
quiet.
Everybody
pull
else,
up the roster.
Just doesn't mean that anybody else isn't any good.
They're not that good. Look at them. They can't win.
That's Marc Gasol and Pau Gasol. I'm pretty sure Ricky Rubio plays for the Spain team, too. Those
well,
are all
you know
NBA
what?
Players.
So that's three NBA kind of all-stars.
There's five people on the floor, and Marc Gasol and Pau Gasol are both all-stars.
Yeah, but I've seen both of them play. One of them plays in Memphis.
Yep.
And he can't jump.
Marc Gasol
plays jump. His vertical is like 6 inches, but he's a great player. I've seen him. Is he a center?
Yeah, him and
he plays. He's like 7 feet tall, right?
Him and his brother, yeah.
Now the other Gasol's older, right? Like years older.
He plays for the Lakers.
Yeah. I tell you what, I told you, I went and saw Memphis play in the playoffs like 2 years ago. They were unbelievable. And if you ever get a chance to see the Memphis NBA team play in Memphis, go. Because it is a college atmosphere at that pro game. I'd never seen a pro game that crazy before. The only pro game I'd ever seen that crazy was Steven Strasburg's first game as a Washington National. It was like game 7 of the best World Series you ever saw. Nobody sat down. Everybody stood up, struck out 14 batters, didn't walk anybody. And, you know, it was like somebody just showed up and, you know, spotted Jesus somewhere. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. All right, everybody's in now at the PGA Tournament. The major down in Kiawah Island. Rory McIlroy, who shot 5-under in the third round and shot a 67, leads. He's -7. He'll be paired up with Carl Pedersen, who, you know, the sad thing about Carl is he's from Norway. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's from Sweden, but he's really not even from Sweden. He can't play.
Isn't that weird?
No, listen to me. He can't play on the Ryder Cup team. He's not allowed to play. Don't look at this stupid basketball
game
and interrupt me.
I'm not interrupting
you.
I
know
can
what?
Stare at the screen.
Can I tell
and
you what?
Listen.
You might. This is like an NBA game. Wait till there's 2 minutes left and turn it on. Because that's when you're going to see the game.
I want to see the whole game.
Why?
And I was wrong about Ricky Rubio. It's not Ricky Rubio. Serge Ibaka's on the team.
Well, where's Ricky Rubio from since you've already botched that one?
He is from Spain.
From Spain? Why isn't he playing?
I don't know.
For Spain.
He must be hurt still.
He's not hurt.
He got hurt at the end of the season.
Who did he sign with?
He plays for the Timberwolves.
Minnesota? Mm-hmm. What did he do wrong to get sent to Minnesota?
Before he went to Minnesota, well, he got drafted by Minnesota. Before he played for Minnesota, though, he played for Barcelona.
Well, I hope it's cold in Spain where he grew up.
But Serge Ibaka plays for Spain from our OKC
Thunder team. I like Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Serge Ibaka can shoot, too.
There's a lot of pros.
Remember when Serge, didn't he go 10 for 10 in a playoff game from the outside? Yes, he did.
It might have been 11 for 11.
10 for 10.
Yeah.
It's 10 for 10. I have a photographic memory. Look it up, Roy. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Matt's over here on the board. We're having fun this morning. If I seem a little excited right now, it's because I just had a half a bag of peanut M&Ms. Nothing better than peanut M&Ms.
I typed in Serge Ibaka, and the first thing that drops 10
for
down,
10?
It says 11 for 11.
No, shit! Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, so it was 11 for 11. God, I hate it when I'm wrong.
We're off to a good start.
But you know what? Rory McIlroy's -7. Carl Pedersen's -4. And by the way, Carl cannot play on the Ryder Cup team because he's not technically a European golfer. He's moved to the United States. He's a U.S. citizen. So he'd have to And he's not a U.S. He's not even – he doesn't have enough points, you know, for the Ryder Cup points. So he can't play for the U.S.
So he's in limbo.
Even if he wins this major today, which he could do, but I doubt. Because you know who he looks like? He looks kind of chubby, and he looks like – at the end of the day, he'll be lucky to be even par. Bo Van Pelt shot a 67, finished early yesterday. Bo Van Pelt is 4 under, and he's in the second to last group with Trevor Immelman. Trevor's minus three also. Adam Scott is minus three. I picked Adam to win. And Steve Stricker shot a 67 in the third round. He's minus two. And Stricker could win this. Look, then you got Peter Hansen, VJ, you got Tiger and Jimmy Dynamite Walker, whoever the hell he is. And
just make up a nickname for him on the spot.
He's moved his position up 37 places in the last round. He went from 47th to tied for 10th because he shot a 67 and he finished very early. And then you got David Lynn, Patrick Harrington. These guys are all minus one. Graham McDowell, who you really can't count Graham McDowell out. You can count Patty Harrington out because he can't putt anymore. Ian Poulter's minus one. Any one of those guys, if Rory chokes, which, trust me, Rory's choked before. He choked in Augusta a year ago, shot an 80. Hello. Rory could very easily, if the wind picks up late in the day, could shoot. He shot a 75 2 days ago. If he shoots another 75, he's 4 under, which means that any one of about 7 or 8 guys, if they shoot 69 or 70, beat him. I'm Bruce Hall, and that's what I figure is going to happen. You know, right now, Rory's probably even money or better than even money in England to because that's where you can bet on anything. If you're listening to me, to the show, somehow, and you're in London at the Olympics waiting for the closing ceremonies, go find out what Rory McIlroy is. I'm gonna have Rory look on here, and if you're a friend of mine, I might have you throw down a few ducats on against Rory. I like Adam Scott. Hello. As a matter of fact, if I had to bet right now on this, and if you can do that in the States, if you're in Vegas listening, bet it all on Steve Stricker or Adam Scott. Those are the two guys that I feel like are going to win. One of those two guys is going to win. It's not going to be Rory. It's not going to be Peterson, for crying out loud. It's not going to be Bo Van Pelt. It's not going to be Trevor. It's going to be Stricker or Scott. VJ, he's been putting lights out all week. VJ is going to have a typical VJ Sunday, and I can't believe Tiger is going to shoot 60. He'd have to shoot 66 to win this thing. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. We're supposed to have a guy on the show later today. Roy, why don't you fill everybody in on this guy because you know him better than I do.
Talking about Brian O'Leary?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Brian O'Leary, he's the author of the book Spygate, The Untold Story. It goes into all the evidence behind the Spygate scandal of the New England Patriots. It talks about the videos, the pictures. There's some radio frequencies inside the helmets. It's some pretty crazy stuff. And, we're going to have him on the 11 o'clock hour.
You know, and that should be good. There's a chance we won't have him because I've not read the book. And I really hate having somebody on if I've not read the book. But if he doesn't mind us using the Cliff Keen notes about all the stuff we want, we're going to have him on because that's really interesting stuff, especially if you're a New England Patriot hater. And let me guess that there's probably a million people hopefully listening to this show right now in either Connecticut, New York, or New Jersey that hate the New England Patriots. Because if you're not a Patriot lover, you're a Patriot hater, buddy.
I'm not from the New England area, but I
do. You hate them too?
Oh yeah, I don't like.
See,
the
I like. See, I like Belichick as a coach. Now, see, you might have to like him as a cheater too, because if you're a good cheater, you know, a lot of people say if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I don't believe in
that.
Well,
they call him. They've been saying that he's one of the best defensive minds of our time.
Absolutely.
But, what if he knew what the other team was doing? What if he knew the other plays? Is that still as impressive to
you? So in this book,
we're going to
talk about this with O'Leary later. But so what you're saying, and this is just something. And by the way, people, when we have Mr. O'Leary on, please call in and we'll let you talk. We'll take your questions and ask your questions about, you know, what you want to know about the New England Patriots, about Spygate. I'm pretty sure wasn't Belichick fined like $5 million or $2 million? I mean, it was a seven-figure fine that the league posted on him, and he just paid it and didn't even blink, said, I'm sorry, which leads me to believe, like, hey, wait a minute. That was quick.
And they go in the book, and we'll talk about all this later. When
I know, but
on.
We're talking about it now because we're so excited about it.
But in the book, it talks about the evidence. The evidence was destroyed.
And wait a minute.
By the NFL commissioner.
Now, I remember that. Now, please tell me that wasn't Roger Goodell.
Yes, sir, it was.
You know what? So let me get this straight. There's a lot. You know, Jonathan Vilma, by the way, will either go to court or not go to court. He's got a decision to make. They're either going to settle out of court and leave. I don't even know if there's going to be an arbitrator involved. But evidently, the judge, who is the ruling judge in the Vilma trial, has already said, I want to find in favor of you because they did this wrong. The commissioner's office, the NFL, in my opinion, is at fault. They didn't say it exactly that way, but they did. I mean, it came off that way. And Vilma, in my opinion, should go to court because the NFL never wins in court. Well, they never do. They just never win.
He is in court now.
Yes, but to go further into the trial, he has to decide, I think, by Tuesday. Because that's when they have to have a decision on it. And
they docked his suspension. They tried to give him the... a shorter suspension, which to me is almost admitting that you don't have anything on this guy.
You know who I. You know if
okay. So we were really wrong, but how about you just take 8 games?
Yeah, well that's typical because listen, the NFL very powerful league, very powerful it's an entity.
And that Belichick fine was $500,000.
I knew there was a 5 in there. Should have been $5 million,
which is the maximum allowed by the league and is the largest fine ever imposed on.
And
a
he
coach.
Paid it right.
Looks like it.
Yeah, he did, and he didn't ask any questions.
The Patriots were fined $250,000.
Which is, you see, what's wrong with that picture?
They also lost
the
first
round pick. You remember when the New Orleans Saints, they fire Sean Payton. That costs Sean Payton a minimum $7.5 million, right? Mm-hmm. They kick Vilma out. They kick all those other guys out for 4 games, is that correct? And there's a bunch of guys that are losing a few games for New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
You know what they fired Benson, the owner of, this is what goofball, Goodell, the senator's son, and I call him the senator's son, people, and I don't mean anything bad by that, but I've read up a lot on his past. His father was a state senator from New York, but he was appointed state senator after Robert Kennedy was assassinated. It's the only way he became senator. So this guy's had a silver spoon in his mouth his whole life. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. He's used to getting his way. Do you understand?
Yep.
He's used to saying, hey, this is going to happen, and this happens. You know what? That's over as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot of people that do not like this guy. Drew Brees, I think they had the interview and they finished the interview a day or two ago where they showed him, do you trust the commissioner? And I'm pretty sure he said, absolutely not. Well, he cost Drew Brees money because they're probably not going to the playoffs this year. I don't think they are. I mean, I think Atlanta's sitting pretty right now in that division to be able to win 11 or 12 games. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's almost like they want him to.
And we do have a lot more NFL to get through because preseason has started. We do have Brian O'Leary of the Spygate the Book coming on. And we're going to talk about Dwight Howard going to the West Coast.
You got somebody calling in
and
for that?
We got a couple people calling in for it. I've had a bunch of texts and some Twitter responses. So if you want to join the conversation, call in 240-317-7294. Reach us on Twitter at SportsManCave at Bruce Hall Sports.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And this Dwight Howard trade, it is, let's just say the NBA is getting a little out of hand. And I'm an NBA fan, Bruce. And
my condolences.
I know
you should get a life because if you're an NBA fan, you don't have a life.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I just did.
But the NBA, really, the last year when they when the commissioner said, no, CP3, you cannot go to the Lakers, it's not fair.
Now, what was that about?
Well, that was the Horn. Well, technically, the commissioner owned the Hornets at that point in time, so the commissioner vetoed the Hornets trade, which, I mean, it probably wasn't
very
fair.
And by the way, Tom Benson owns the Hornets now.
Yeah, of the New Orleans Saints.
That's ridiculous.
And so CP3, at least he ended up going to a contender, and he ended up going to the Clippers.
Maybe if they have another hurricane, he'll take both teams somewhere, because after the hurricane, the first thing that came out of Tom Benson's hands, this is the first thing that came out of his mouth, is we got to move. We need to move his team. We got to move his team. I don't like guys like that. That's why I like guys like Drew Brees, who got behind the city and worked with all the people who were homeless and raised all the money for them.
I was pretty scared where you're going there with that.
Oh, no, no. I'm not a Benson fan. My point is now the idiot owns. And there's no doubt in my mind that if you're an owner in the NFL, Roger Goodell has you on speed dial, and he's also sending you favors 24/7, because when we talked about all the fines and stuff that happened because of Bounty Gate, when all this stuff happened, Benson got fined $500,000. It cost the head coach, well, it cost the defensive coordinator, and rightfully should have, his job. But I don't think he got fined, but maybe $1 million. It cost Sean Payton $7.5 million because he doesn't have a job this year. Listen, I'm smart enough to know that if you've got an NFL team that competes in your league, right? Roy, follow me on this, okay? Mm-hmm. You need a good head coach to run the team.
Yeah.
You have to. Hey, this is my boy. You play to win the game. You have to have a head coach to run the team. You know, right now they don't have a head coach. And their special teams guy who would be Joe Vitt, who would be their head coach, can't do anything for four weeks into the season.
Yeah.
Right? Like some of their players.
We have a call.
Oh my God.
In.
Let's see who it is.
Hey, who's this? Hello. Caller. You there?
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah.
This is
Brian O'Leary.
Hey, Brian, how you doing? You're calling in early. Well, hey, Brian, hey, listen, I appreciate you calling. Did you call in on the radio number?
Well, no, I got your message saying you wanted to bump to next week.
Let me just tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go with you since you're on. And we're going to go with you now because I appreciate you calling. I was kind of, that's my fault. I thought you'd call Roy's cell phone back. But listen to me. I tried to find the book. Can you do me a big favor? But we're gonna interview you anyway because I got a feeling we'll be able to get where we want to go with this. But I have never interviewed anybody I haven't read their book before. And I read a book. I probably can read your book in 2 or 3 days. How many pages is it?
It's only 270, but it's got a lot of charts and graphs. The last couple of people that I talked to read it in one sitting.
Can I tell you what? Hours. You're talking to a guy that would do that.
I love charts and graphs.
And let me just tell you this. I love what you've done. Let me just repeat
Thank you.
And I'm a Belichick fan. I love him as a coach. Uh-oh. I don't love him as a person. He's obviously a little sneaky. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I'm not one of those guys. I coach college baseball in the summer. I coach high school wrestling during the year. I've been a coach my whole life. I've been a participant in sports my whole life. I don't cheat. Mm-hmm. The rules are very important to me. Does that make sense?
That's the conclusion of the book, is what do we want for our society? Win at all costs or play by the rules?
Amen. Let me ask you this. What motivated you to write this book?
Well, the reason why I wanted to write the book was that I basically, as an NFL fan, I noticed that year after year we're getting further away from the event and that basically they got a pass. And I overheard people like Bob Costa saying this is a model franchise. And you know, it just made me sick that basically people were going in the past and whitewashing history and saying that cheating never happened. And I thought to myself, if I spent time, and I'm in a business where we create trading strategies, I thought if a cheating system was working, then it would leave a statistical footprint that I could show, an unbiased person could clearly see that the cheating mattered, if in fact it did matter and if it was there. And sure enough, when you look at against the spread and their records at home, and you compare them to the rest of the league, they're so far away from the rest of the league, you'd have to be a very biased person not to agree that that's a clear sign that the cheating helped them.
No, you know what? I totally agree with that. And you do have advantages at your own place. I mean, for years they talked about at the Meadowlands, at the old Meadowlands, that if they wanted the wind to be a factor in the kicking game, they just opened all the exit doors at both ends, and you couldn't even come close to kicking it through the goalpost. Even quarterbacks throwing at that south or east end zone. You know, Eli Manning to this day says that when the wind's whipping on that end, he almost doesn't throw an out on one side of the field. And defenses know that. So, I mean, there are some advantages. Let me ask you that. Where are you from originally? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town that borders Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so I'm a Steeler fan.
I love that. Well, that's great. And so you've been around the NFL. Now, how old are you?
I am 48.
Oh, sure.
So
you're
remember
no spring.
All the...
I'm 58. I've coached guys your age. So, you know, all I'm telling you is that you've got a really good background. You love the NFL, right?
Oh, yeah. I was, like I said, I was a teenager, a young kid for all four Super Bowls in Pittsburgh, was lucky enough to have a few more. So, you know, if somebody wants to say it's sour grapes, I mean, there's certainly some truth to that, but we've had more than our fair share of championships. It's not as though the Patriots have ruined all my fun.
No, and it's it's also not like those guys in Pittsburgh didn't have some great teams. Boy, they had some great teams. Unbelievable. Go ahead.
So is this, are we on the air now?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Are you kidding me? This is good. This is great radio. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Yeah. Tell them what we're talking
to,
Roy.
Here with Brian O'Leary of the book Spygate, The Untold Story. And now, Brian, I've been heavily looking into this book for a couple weeks now and looking over all these graphs and charts that you're talking about. And as our listeners know, this is a handicapping show. So when we get into the NFL season, that's a big thing for us. And I was so astounded about how much better against the spread that the Patriots are that you touch on in your book. Can you talk about how the plus factor that the Patriots have compared to the rest of the league?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me just set the table. When I came about the idea to write the book, I thought, well, there's no point in me just putting together this story from news accounts because anyone can do that. The original information that I reveal in the book is things like the studies that I do for Against the Spread. And because they were so outrageous in their returns, I hired a PhD of statistical science at Southern Methodist University. So he's the one doing the studies, not me.
Mm-hmm.
So what we basically did was we formulated the following logical construct, and this will appeal to your listeners. What is a Vegas spread? A Vegas spread is a calculation of known variables for each team, whether a team has a great running defense, whether their quarterback is great in the clutch, you know, passing offense, coaches, performance on grass, you name it, your readers know or your listeners know better than anyone. These formulas are put together in Vegas is very, very accurate. As a matter of fact, over the last 11 seasons, the average NFL team is just slightly under 50-50 against the spread, which is what you would expect.
Yeah.
Now, there is kind of a large standard deviation, which is the average amount people are away from that. And the standard deviation of against the spread is plus 13. So this is net winning bets, wins minus losses.
Hey, the house never loses, Brian.
They don't lose over time.
Right,
they don't
right.
lose consistently.
Plus, so the juice is 5%, and that's where they make their money.
Right, right, naturally. But let me just get to the punchline. Mm-hmm. The punchline is when you move two standard deviations away from zero, you get to a number that's plus 26. And, of course, on the other side, minus 26. So every NFL team should fit in that band, and every one of them does, except the Patriots. The Patriots are mind-blowing, plus 38. Huh. That's a whole other season of wins and covers.
How many years?
Nobody should be that far out.
Brian, how many years is that calculation done over? Is
11,
it done over like 10 years?
It's 11 seasons.
Wow.
That's pretty valid then. Yeah, and what you're saying basically, let me tell you. You know when the schedules come out, and I'm sure you when the schedules come out every year, and I think they came out in May this year. They think they come out in May every year. You get every team's schedule. When that schedule comes out, what I do, and I've been handicapping pro football since college, and I'm old, okay? I'm 10 years older than you are, all right?
Okay.
And I'm telling you, what I do is I take every single game based on what I know now and what I knew at the end of last year, and I will come out with a record for each team. This year, for the first time ever in my life, my wins and losses were exactly the same the first time I compilated that. Do you know how hard that is to do? That means I'm right on it. So, yeah. In other words, I haven't changed anything. The Redskins are going to win 6 games. I got the Giants winning 9 again this year. I got New England right. winning 11, okay? I mean, I can tell you, everybody, what I like. The point I'm trying to make is I understand exactly what you're saying. Now, let me tell you what I've noticed about the New England Patriots as a handicapper.
Right.
There are two ways. And in college football, a lot of people like to bet college football, either in Vegas or, you know, on the islands or wherever, okay, or in
right.
London, England. What college teams tend to like to do is they run the score up. Because what they'll do is they'll leave their starters in a little extra so that all the alumni who bet on their team get paid. Now they're not getting paid by anybody they know, but they're a team covering the spread in college, 8 out of 11 or 12 games, there's a lot of happy alumni walking around on Sunday. Okay?
Right.
Now they got some money to play with on Sunday for the NFL, which nobody wins at, to be honest with you.
Right.
It's the toughest game in the world. Okay.
Right.
Roy has a question to ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to get further into this book and the points that you bring up, like the radio frequencies inside the helmets. Tom Brady, you said that he had two different radio frequencies inside the helmets?
Right. See, one of the things that causes people to be misinformed about this subject matter is the fact that the NFL was very effective at sort of letting the media know that they didn't want a lot of these thought lines or data points followed up on. And I'll tell you a few of them that'll surprise most of your listeners. The day after the punishment was handed down, now keep in mind, it happened on September 9th. On September 13th, the NFL officially basically called it case closed. Here's your marginal punishments. And then they dispatched some executives up to Foxborough to gather up the additional tapes. When they got up there and gathered up the additional evidence, they destroyed all of it on site in Foxborough. Now, I defy you to show me one unbiased person that would say that that isn't a clear tip-off of a cover-up, but it gets even worse. The very next day, no less than Chris Mortensen and Andrea Kramer both reported that there were many other things that the Patriots were doing to gain advantage and that this taping of defenses was just the tip of the iceberg. For instance, other teams were going to come forward and complain to the NFL that the Patriots had been miking defensive linemen to obtain quarterback audibles and jamming the radio frequency of opposing coaches' headsets. In addition, Chris Mortensen and he alone reported that the Jets were caught at that game using an alternate radio frequency. Well, when I was doing my research for the book, I discovered an anecdote attributed to Doug Flutie, whereby he said when he played quarterback there, he picked up the wrong helmet. You know, sometimes you see backup.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Flutie picked up what he thought was his own helmet, but it was Tom Brady's backup helmet.
Right. Oh.
He relayed to friends that Tom Brady was hearing from the coaches right through the 15-second cutoff, right up until the play, and that they were telling the exact defense he was about to face.
Hey, and Flute would tell the truth because he's not scared of anybody. Hey, Brian, hold that thought. We're going to have you back on as soon as we get back.
Are you cool to hold on for a break, Brian?
Can you come back on?
All right, cool.
We'll be right back with you. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back in New York here with Brian O'Leary of Spygate, The Untold Story, which Bruce loves controversy, and I am a history buff, so when you were throwing the, when I seen these charts and graphs and all these stats that for some reason really never made the big news story like you're talking about, I knew that we had to get you on the show.
Hey, Brian, speaking of his
story, do you mind if I tell your listeners where they can buy the book?
No, absolutely. Tell me where I can buy the book, because I've been to every bookstore in Northern Virginia and couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's not in the bookstores yet. It's available on Amazon in Kindle and hardback, and okay. It's also available in iPad version and all the other versions on the website, spygatebook.com, spygatebook.com. Now, one thing we didn't talk about when we were talking about the Against the Spread is the image. Excuse me.
You got exactly the same thing wrong. You have exactly the same thing wrong with you as I do. It's been in my chest for 4 days. Go ahead.
Little frog in the throat. Yeah, once I got the performance information, the data points on Against the Spread, I knew that I needed to get an authority on gambling interviewed in the book, and I got none other than Wayne Allen Root, who's king of Vegas gaming.
Yeah, he just lost your credibility with me, but go ahead.
Well, he's been doing it for 25 years.
No, he has, but he's the other side of gambling. Go ahead.
Right. So in any event, he is interviewed in the book, and he talks about the fact that they're so far away from the rest of the league and that it should be impossible, mm-hmm. and that when a team is good and they're winning and covering, their spreads get adjusted based on that. And it's hard to believe a team could just continuously beat Vegas to the tune of 62% of all their regular season games or wins and covers. And that when I asked him, why isn't this widely known, he said that handicappers have so many sports that they work on, and they're working on 1 week to the next week, that most handicappers have no use for 10 years worth of data. He was surprised to hear that, how the data came out over 10 or 11.
Can I make a statement here? And here's what I think about that. First of all, Wayne Root is a player. God, he's a huge player. And a lot of people like Wayne. I don't, because I've been around forever. He plays both sides. See, in Vegas, that's how they do it. They want 10,000 players that give them money every week. They give half of them one side, they give half of them the other. That's kind of what Root does. Because that way, half their people are winning every week. If they go the other way and give everybody one team and they lose all those guys. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't like that part of it, and that's the reason I didn't go to Vegas, besides raising a family and coaching kids for the last 30 years, is I didn't want to do that. I didn't get into radio until late, but let me explain to you something about that. There has been a time in the past, and you can look at it, where the New England Patriots 10 years before that struggled. But here's what you'll see 9 out of 10 times, maybe 98 out of 10 times in pro football. When you look at the end of the season, yeah, you're going to have a team that covers a majority of games 1 year, but they'll make the adjustment the following year. Does that make sense? Where, like, yeah. The Carolina Panthers, I hate to use them as an example, because I don't think Carolina had a great season last year, but I think they won more than they lost against the spread. Cam Newton, mm-hmm. they were running up. I can tell you this, Carolina Panthers went over the number a lot. Why? Because they had no defense and had a great offense. Okay, right. And that right. happens, and you see that happening now. If you look at Carolina Panthers, and I'm not going to get off on this long, they just signed two running backs for a huge number. Why would you do that? It's going to take away from your defense, because they sell tickets scoring points. The New England Patriots are very similar to that. Wouldn't you agree? They love yep. to score points. Uh-huh. And you know what? Even if you don't cover a point spread, you can always go right. over. You can always go right. over, because if you – And I see New England as being this, and now that I've had you on and I'm listening to you and what you've done, everything's right. starting to make more sense to me. They love well, offense. They don't really like defense. Their well, defense, didn't they give up more points last year than any team in the history of the league?
They were the worst passing defense to ever make a Super Bowl.
Absolutely, but not only that, I think in the league they were the worst, but they scored so many points.
Well, let me give your listeners something they can use this
okay.
year.
Okay.
What my studies found, a lot of people ask, well, how are they still good after they stop cheating? Well, the question my book asks is, did they stop? Okay.
No.
Now, let me not be so bold as to say that they're still cheating, but let's just say this. They have become impossible to beat at home, which should not be the case in a normal league like the NFL built on parity. Mm-hmm. They win in the mid 80% of their games. They've only lost 4 home games in the last 5 seasons. Now, let me put that in perspective. Of all the NFL teams going back 20 years to free agency,
right,
only 2 teams have won all their home games more than 3 times or more, right? One of them was Denver, which we know Elway was assisted by altitude, right?
Yep.
So that takes a really good team to a perfect team.
Right.
New England has done it 5 times in 8 seasons. 47% of the league has never gone 8-0. Troy Aikman never did it. You know, Peyton Manning's done it once.
Now,
they do it in New England like they're playing the Big East.
I couldn't agree. let me throw something in there for you. Let's look right now, in contrast to the New England Patriots, let's look at my Road Warriors. I picked late October last year, I picked the New York Giants to win the Super Bowl. You know, we're on in New York. We're on in Westchester. Yeah. It was kind of a fun play because I knew I was going to end up being a New York Giant fan all year anyway, because it was our first year on in New York. But I always loved their team. I love Tom Coughlin. I love Eli Manning. But you know what they do? They win on the road. They've always won on the road because they do something different than everybody else, and they seem to play better on the road. You can beat the Giants in New York just about any time you want. That's how hard it is to win at home. It's just as hard to win at home as it is to win on the road. And I'll tell
you. Not if you're a Patriot.
Yeah. No, I know. And I don't know how they do that, because let me tell you what happens at home.
You better read the book then, Bruce.
Well, I've got to get the daggone book. And before you get off, when we do finish the interview today, which hopefully will be before the next segment, but we're enjoying this so much.
Yeah, this is great stuff.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously, you feel like they've cheated. I know, but I haven't read the book yet. Give me the 3 major reasons that you think that they've cheated and what proves they've cheated real quick before you go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, well,
number one.
A lot of people. Yeah, the book obviously takes several hours to read, but a lot of people say things like this. Look, you're an outsider, and this is circumstantial evidence, but that's not true. Because if you stack up enough circumstantial evidence along with the fact that they were caught, and we had evidence, and they admitted to cheating, there is hard evidence in this case. What I show is that it had an effect. Most people say it's debatable. They may have won the games without that. But when you're 3 standard deviations away from the league, you're either cheating or your players are aliens, because human beings make mistakes. Think about that.
Right.
You can't win all of your home games in the NFL and expect us to believe you're playing by the same set of rules. That's just the way it is. I mean, I can take you through the chronology of events. I can take you through all of the people who have stated things. Like, for instance, many people don't know that Josh McDaniels obviously came from nowhere. He was a wide receiver at John Carroll. Never played quarterback.
John Carroll in Ohio. That's where London Fletcher went to school.
Exactly. So he becomes Tom Brady's quarterback's coach. He's 1 year older than Brady. He's never played the position at an advanced level. Right?
He's a bag man.
No, I'm giving you.
No, I agree with you. I don't like Josh McDaniels anyway. Thing.
So now, 1 year later, he's the best coordinator in the NFL. And a year after that, he set all-time offensive records. When he goes to Denver and starts to flounder because he's not in, quote-unquote, the system anymore, he tries to recreate Spygate and gets caught doing it.
In Denver?
You know that?
In Denver. No, I didn't know that either.
Yes. And when he got caught, he's got a whole chapter in my book called Say It Ain't So, Josh, where he gets caught.
This is great.
Listen to this. He gathers his coaches together and says, if you or anybody in this room repeats this, you'll be fired. But listen to me. This is not who I am. It's not like in New England where it was coached, it was practiced, it was worked on. All these coaches are looking at him like, you are New England. That's how you got your job here. You invented the system with Belichick. You were in the center of it. How do you say to us now that this isn't who you are when you brought an ex-videographer from that organization specifically here, and were caught cheating again. This is exactly who you are.
Was that reported? Was that reported? That incident there?
Very minimally, but that cover up of all these news media articles is what makes my book so juicy. You don't have to believe Brian O'Leary. Everything's sourced. As a matter of fact, if you buy the iPad or Kindle version, when you get to a quote like the one I just gave you,
right,
and you just simply scratch your head, there's no way this can be true. You touch the little footnote, and it hyperlinks the article on the internet. So you go to AOL News, and it says, Spygate 2 in Denver reeks of cover-up.
Wow.
That's the name of an article. Now, the NFL was very successful in brushing this under the rug, and no media members wanted to touch it because they don't want to lose access to the NFL.
Brian, we're going to keep you on just for like about 2 or 3 minutes longer so we can get you to let everybody know how they can get your book. And I also want to keep you on so I can get something. For the first time in generations, Brian, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFAS will be right back.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here in New York with Brian O'Leary of SpygateTheBook.com, Spygate, The Untold Story. Brian, thanks for hanging on through the break with us.
And
yeah.
Hopefully we'll be selling some books for you. By the way, I found your book. Roy helped me. And checkout's only $20, so I'm going to buy it right now. But I want it sent to me as quickly as possible. So I'm going to try. I'm going to do FedEx like 2 days. That way, you know, we may even follow up with you really pretty soon because we're getting close to football season. By the way, are you as involved? Do you like watching preseason too?
I like to see how our draft choices do. You know, we're rebuilding our offensive
talking
line
about Pittsburgh.
So it's exciting. Yeah, we got DeCastro, the best guard in the draft. We got a new tackle. So, you know, the whole problem for us all these years is protecting Ben, and now it looks like we got a shot at doing that.
Do you know what's really funny is when I was Googling you and trying to find your book, I found this like link to Chris Mortensen, a liar or something. It's like they accused him of lying, I guess. The league did.
Wow.
Have you heard about that
know.
Yet?
No, I didn't.
You know what? Google it, because somebody wrote something about that, and it looked pretty funny. Listen, I wanted to thank you for coming on. Tell everybody exactly where they can buy the book again, and then I got one last thing I want to leave you with. Okay, go ahead.
You can get the book in all electronic formats and hardcover on the website spygatebook.com.
Okay.
And you can also buy the hardcover in Kindle on Amazon.
All right, that's great. Let me share something with you. You were born in either 1953 or 52, correct?
64.
I'm sorry. That was close. I meant 63
really
or 64.
Good with your math.
A year before you were born.
Aging me.
Yeah, I am. A year before you were born, there was a historical event, probably the worst historical event in the history of the United States, and it was John Kennedy's assassination.
Right,
in 1971, I was a freshman or sophomore at East Carolina University, and I went to a lecture that a guy from Boston put on, a guy named Katz, And he basically was doing research into the assassination and what really happened. If you read the history books, that was all swept under the rug. I mean, if you go into a high school, a public high school anywhere in the country now, these kids have no idea what happened. I make sure I tell everybody what happened because I've researched the Kennedy assassination back as far as the mid to late 70s, and that was another situation that nobody followed up on. The media was involved in the cover up. It was a joke, to be honest with you. And I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna go any further. But that's kind of the same thing that you're running into here. Nobody wants to admit that this is happening, correct?
Well, one of the things that
okay, I've sent the caller.
Whoa,
owners basically conspired. I'm sorry.
Say that. Go over that again. You cut out a second.
Yeah, Matt's freaking us out over here. Go ahead.
Yeah. The owners basically conspired with the commissioner to let the public know that it didn't really matter. But I've proven the book because of the fact that they still had not interviewed Matt Walsh, a known ex-employee with tapes in his possession. They couldn't know what he was going to say, but yet they were telling the public that it didn't matter, it didn't affect the outcome of the games. All the luminary owners that I mentioned in the book, I quote specifically as saying, it's a settled matter, it never affected games. But there's no way they could know that to be true because they didn't interview Matt Walsh for another month.
That was what they were told to say. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they decided, look, we need to get this out of the newspapers. Arlen Specter's a senator that was talking in the New York Times every day saying this is being swept under the rug. This is a controversy. I know there's more to the story. And they came out en masse, shoulder to shoulder, and told the public, there's nothing to worry about. But they couldn't know what Matt Walsh had. What if he showed up with six tapes, two of which were of a Super Bowl? And he said, Tom Brady handed me a cigar and said, we couldn't have won it without you, buddy. What if he would have said that?
Well, you know,
they would have all been liars.
The mere fact that this guy had that important of a, you know, did you ever get a chance, and, you know, did you ever get a chance to talk directly to this guy?
Well, I tried to, and that was another interesting thing that I bring up in the book. Roger Goodell says to the media that Matt Walsh is free to speak, and that he was indemnified, but I discovered that his indemnification is highly qualified. Huh. And when I tried to talk to him, his attorney said that he wasn't able to speak. But oddly enough, he called me upon the almost at the publication date and said he wanted to see the manuscript. And I said, without giving me an interview, that I wasn't interested in sharing. So he
good for
it.
You. No, good for you. And you know what? He's just worried about his own butt. Your next book may quote him. You may even have a chapter on him. Hey, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on. This has been the best interview we've had so far on the show. We really enjoyed it. And we're going to have you back on. And listen, do a follow-up and feel free to call us anytime.
I hope you enjoy the book.
No, absolutely. Hell, I just bought it. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And we're saying goodbye, Roy, to your buddy.
Yeah, Brian O'Leary, author of Spygate, The Untold Story. You can find it at spygatebook.com. That was great.
Thank you very much. Anyway, we're gonna get into some other stuff. Let me take a look real quick, Roy. What did you find most interesting about that? You know what? I learned four things I didn't know anything about. I had no idea that Denver had this problem. Ever.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That was pretty insane for me. We have a new caller.
No, we got another caller. Go ahead. Who is this?
You're on the air.
Hey, guys. This is Gabe. I wrote the article for Sportsman Kane Philadelphia.
Hey,
how you doing?
How are you, buddy?
No, you're the Philly guy. Are you a Geno's or Pat's guy, buddy?
Oh, no, neither. You got to go to Jim's.
Jim's? There's a place besides Geno's and
third
Pat's?
One?
Oh, yeah. Geno's and Pat's, that's a tourist trap. You got to go to Jim's on South Street.
All right. South Street. Well, hell, is it downtown?
Yeah, right in the city.
I got you. Well, that's going to be a lot closer to the hotel, that's for sure.
So I guess we're going to jump straight into this Dwight Howard trade. But really, it means a lot to the city of Philadelphia. I know you guys are losing Iguodala, which in your article you go in to explain you're not that worried about losing him. What do you think that Andrew Bynum brings to Philadelphia?
Well, he finally gives us a player we can build around. The city's needed that for a while. I mean, we've had Iguodala, and as you know, he hasn't been like that much. I mean, he's an all-around great player. He's an Olympic athlete, but he's not a franchise player you can build around. We got a 24-year-old center They're in a second best in the league, and the city needs that.
So for those of you who are listening that don't know what happened, Dwight Howard has been traded to the Lakers, which sends Andrew Bynum to Philadelphia. Who else did Philadelphia pick up in that trade?
They got Jason Richardson, too, and he's more than a serviceable three-point shooter, which the Sixers need after getting rid of Lou Williams and Jody Meeks. So I see him seeing a decent amount of time on the court as well.
Hey, let me ask you this. Who's the two-guard that Philadelphia has that can put it up? Williams? Is that his last name?
He's actually gone. He left. He went to Atlanta. So
oh, you're kidding. Is he a free agent or did he get traded?
No, this is that huge.
He had a player option, and he opted out.
God,
and
he was one of their best players, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was basically their sixth man. And I hated to see him go because we drafted him back when we had Iverson out of high school, and he was one of my favorites. He came up out of nowhere, and he was looking for that payday. The Sixers weren't going to give it to him. So he went to Atlanta, and we picked up Nick Young from the Clippers.
Hey, listen, you're in Philly. Any chance we get AI back there? Because, you know what, Iverson could still put up 25 a game, I figure. What do you think?
I miss him, but we're building around a young core with Drew Holiday. He's 22.
Practice?
Hey, Gabe, hold on for us real quick. We're going to go to a break.
I got to do a read. Gabe will be back in a minute, okay? For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here with Gabe Ghibellino of SMC Philadelphia. Gabe, I'm going over your article right now, and of course I've already read it, but I'm skipping through it here. And one of the things that you touch on is the Andrew Bynum. The buzz around Philadelphia right now is that Philadelphia might not be able to re-sign him after his year. Now, you go on to a touch on a couple points. Now, do you think it's a possibility that Bynum re-signs with Philadelphia after the end of the year, or do you think this is a one-and-done trade? And do you think it's a one-and-done trade in L.A.?
I think, first in Philadelphia, we're excited to have him. They've already put up 15 billboards welcoming him to the city. And
you got to love that.
Yeah. If that doesn't get him to re-sign, I don't know what
will. The guy's going to be able to get a date if he's not married.
Right. But I think we do re-sign him. I mean, we have his bird rights, meaning we can offer him an extra year, a five-year deal instead of a four-year, and a whole extra $25 million. And he's young. He wants the money, and he wants to be the main focal point of an offense, and he gets that in Philadelphia.
He sure does. And, you know, they struggled at times, but you know what? They gave the Knicks fits, didn't they, last year?
Yeah, they gave the Knicks trouble. They beat the Bulls in the playoffs, but they were without Derrick Rose, so yeah. I don't think they would have got past them without Derrick Rose going down. But they also took Boston to seven, and Boston took Miami to seven, so it's really, they're not far from contending, and this really gives us the next step.
Now, listen, I'm not a huge NBA fan, which is why I'm going to ask this next question, but Roy is. He loves the NBA to death. I'm a big college basketball guy. Who's their head coach now?
Doug Collins.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, he knows how to get his players excited
to play. And I mean, they're basically returning everyone except for Iguodala. They lost Elton Brand, which is big. But
where did Brand end up?
Brand? He ended up in Dallas.
Wow.
They bid on him through the amnesty clause, and they picked him up. So, I mean, he should do well there. He still has some years left in the tank, but he's not the old Elton Brand.
No, but I'll tell you what, he's a powerhouse. He can play.
Yeah, he definitely does.
What do you think about this trade for L.A.?
I mean, you got to like it. They get even more star power in Dwight Howard, and they're a star power-hungry town. They want it. I mean, plus picking up Steve Nash, I think they got to be the favorite out in the West other than Oklahoma City. It's going to be between them, but I think he re-signs there, and I think it's going to be a Miami, Oklahoma, or not Oklahoma City, a Miami-LA final.
Mitch Kupchak's is the GM. Jerry West is pretty much done with the Lakers. I think he's kind of on hiatus, if I'm not mistaken. Still looks pretty good for a guy in his 70s, and probably can still shoot lights out from about 30 feet. But you got to like what Kupchak did here, and I'm sure Jerry Buss was behind it. They bring in Steve Nash, who's 40 years old, but he plays like he's 30, maybe younger, takes good care of his body. But the thing I like about having Nash in there is they have a buffer between Howard and Kobe. You know, now it's almost like Nash is the leader. You know, Kobe's going to get his 25-30 a game. He's going to get his triple doubles. He's going to be the great player he always was, but he's not going to be asked to be as big a leader. What do you think about that?
I think he's going to probably only play a couple more years. That's what he said. And until he's gone, I still think it's his team. He's obviously going to have the ball in his hands taking the last shot. He's been that guy since 2000. I don't think you're going to bust him out of that position yet.
No, I totally agree with you. Anything you see happening in the NBA besides in LA and these other places? What about our Wizards here in DC? We gonna win like 20 games or what? We suck.
Yeah, you guys. I mean, you picked up Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and he's a big piece.
No, we didn't.
Kidd-Gilchrist. You got Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Hey, you know what? That's the problem with the Wizards. Nobody even knows who we have.
Right.
We have John Wall. I know that.
Yeah.
You know, and evidently he's not going to be able to do anything without like four or five other guys that can play, and that's a problem. We lost the guy we spent a ton of money on. What was his name, Roy? The guy that we sent packing?
Gilbert?
No,
Mr. Gunslinger?
Gilbert. That was like 2 years ago. I'm talking about the big guy.
Oh, yeah.
We released him.
I don't even remember what his name. You took him to Redskins games. You should know his name better than I did.
Andre Blotch.
There it is.
What's
Andre
the deal
Blotch.
With Andre Blotch? Is he just that bad?
He's a joke.
I think he's a head case. He's a little immature.
Like Dwight Howard? Oh, did I say that?
What do you think about the Knicks, Gabe? You think the Knicks are going to... You think the Knicks have the potential to make a run next season with the loss of Jeremy Lin?
They don't need Jeremy Lin.
Linsanity, that wasn't a good thing.
I don't think the Knicks improved too much. But I really don't see them as a contender in the East. I really don't.
What do you think the reason is there? You think it's just they don't have enough big guys? Because obviously they can put it up from the outside a little bit.
Right. Well, you have Carmelo, and he's a great player. He's the definition of clutch.
Not a real physical guy, though. I mean, Carmelo's basically a three. He's a three or a four that can play the two, right?
Yeah, he basically can do it all. I think their problem is Amari. They gave him all that money, and he hasn't really performed up to the level he used to in Phoenix.
Yeah, he's got a couple back problems to go with it. Well, Gabe, I want to thank you for calling in here, buddy. And if you guys haven't checked out his article on the Bynum and Howard trade, go to sportsmancave.com, click on SMC Philadelphia, and you'll see Gabe's pretty face next to this great article. Gabe, thank you very much for writing it. Thanks for very
Gabe,
much.
Gabe, thanks.
For
when I get to
on,
Philly,
buddy.
You got to take me to that new steak and cheese place, man.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, buddy.
Take care, buddy.
Good dude, man.
Yeah, man.
I like that guy. I like a Philly guy that isn't wanting to smack you in the face. That's what I'm generally used to are the guys that end up at the stadium drunk.
They're not throwing snowballs at you while you're trying to watch a
football
game.
Or full beers. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, and I don't like it
children.
When people throw full beers at people. Those will leave marks. You know, I would love, but you know what? I miss Allen Iverson. I just do. That guy was such
one of my
great
favorite players.
He was a great athlete, and he's still a great athlete. And you know what? He's dead broke. He's flat broke. Why don't the damn Wizards get AI and pay him a couple million dollars cash and let him fill up Verizon Center? He would fill up Verizon Center. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, we wouldn't win any more games.
No, but I mean, he could play two on that team because John Wall. Could you imagine Allen Iverson and John Wall? If Allen could go 25, 30
minutes. 7 years ago, that'd be amazing.
Well, how old is he? 38, 37?
You're right.
He's not that old.
You're right. I mean, he's not that old.
He's taking care of his body probably, unless he's like 40 pounds overweight.
Hopefully. Well, he did. When he came out of college, his favorite meal was his aunt's lasagna. The only reason why I know that is because he went to Georgetown, and I was a big Georgetown fan.
I'm going to tell you something. Hey,
so if he's still eating his aunt's lasagna, he might not be in shape.
Dude, let me tell you something. I watched them in the regional tournament in the NCAA his freshman year, drive the baseline at the University of Richmond, mm-hmm. go reverse other side, slam dunk, and hit his head on the rim. When he's like 5'11".
He's a little guy.
And I want to say AI went he went pro like after his sophomore or junior year. He was one of the guys that got to go early. Mm-hmm. I want to say they could go after their sophomore year because some guys sued the league.
You go straight out of high school when
you played. I don't think you could. I think you had to go to college at least 1 year because some kid in the NCAA sued the league and won.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's how kind of lawyers made it so kids mm-hmm. could go from high school into college.
Well, now you can't again. They went back to that the other year. Yeah, now it's 1 year.
Which is like
Kevin Durant. I think he was the first class.
That's the Duke rule, right? Actually, it's not the Duke rule.
I would call it the Kentucky rule.
What's that guy's? What's the head coach
John
of Kentucky?
Calipari.
I love Cal. Hey, Cal was at Memphis. Remember that they had Rose.
They had Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose played for 1 year. Bye. See you. First pick in the draft.
John Wall.
Yep. John Wall.
Cousins.
Bye. Ugh. What's the point?
He's had some players.
Yeah, what's the point? You know, the only thing, the one thing that college seemed to do for everybody I've ever known that went there, you do mature a little bit. Mm-hmm. You learn how to drink and not get too drunk. You learn how to talk to girls. You learn how to drive a car, home and drive a car back. That's about it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, coming straight out of high school, I think the big thing with the players coming, if they were coming out of high school or going to college 1 year, was the spotlight. If you play 1 year at the collegiate level, if you're going to go pro, you're going to play collegiate basketball at a big-time university. So you're going to get a sense of the spotlight. You're going to get a sense of the sponsors.
They lose that.
It's not going to be thrown in your face, whereas if you go from a small town in Alabama, you're playing basketball down there, and then all of a sudden you're the starting two guard for the LA Lakers, and spotlights are in your face. You know, there's more of a chance that you're going to get into some trouble.
No, I agree. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm talking to Roy Edwards. Roy G got mad over there on the box, paying attention. We're watching. We're trying to figure out what the U.S. team is actually doing now. What's the score of that game?
They're up by a little bit now. Spain made a run.
A little bit. Is that more than 10 or under 10?
Well, I'm pretty sure it was under 10 last time.
I think it was like 4 points last time I looked up. Nobody wants them to know that they're shaving. I'm just kidding. That's just my opinion.
But we're going to get into a little bit of NFL news here. We do have a little bit of Tim Tebow to talk about.
All right,
of course, how can we not talk about Tim Tebow?
Talk about him right now. I saw the game the other night.
New York Jets fans, let's just say that, get excited about this kid, Tim Tebow, because if the preseason showed you anything, is that this kid was not a one-hit, he wasn't a one-and-a-half-hit wonder in Denver. He's going to bring that to New York and then the Jets. And then Mark Sanchez looked okay. He didn't look...
4 for 6 for 21 yards, and he got on the air and said, yeah, I had a pretty good game.
He looked okay. He looked all right.
He looked fine. For a first game, it was fine.
What, did he run two series?
Look at who they played, though. Basically in the preseason, you go out there for two or three series, and you're done. Tebow got to play quite a bit, though. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of what everybody came to see. What are they going to use him for? They did not use... Evidently, there was a lot of talk about the opposing coach begging Rex not to use his Wildcat because they weren't ready for it, and Rex didn't. And that was a nice, mm-hmm. that was a great gesture for Rex.
Plus, I don't think they really want to unveil.
They don't want to let everybody know what he can do, and everybody knows what he can do. Let me just do a catch up on the PGA, which for you golf fans, you're going to be able to see all the golf in the world between now and dusk, when you can't see anymore, down in Kiawah Island, South Carolina. Rory McIlroy is 7-under. Carl Peterson is 4-under. Trevor Immelman, Adam Scott, and Bo Van Pelt are 3-under. Peter Hansen, Vijay Singh, Tiger Woods, and Steve Stricker are all 2-under. And there's a host of guys at 1-under. If you're not 1-under or better, you don't have a chance to win this tournament, in my opinion. And they haven't really even started posting anything. They've actually taken a pretty long break between the round that started at 8 o'clock, 7:30 this morning, that finished yesterday's round. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine most people are going to start going off around 11:30, quarter to 12, which is coming up real soon. You're listening to Bruce Hall's mm-hmm. Second Opinion here on WFAS 12:30 a.m. When we get back, we're going to be talking about a few things. Now, Roy, we're getting close to football season
here. Yes, we are.
So Roy and I next week are going to have a game for everybody who listens to the show to play. You're going to have to probably go online. You're going to have to register with us. But we're going to let you pick against us during the season. I compete in the National Handicappers Bowl. I probably am again this year. I do it almost every year. That way I'm documented in here. We're also, Roy, at the end of today, we're not only going to give everybody our picks for today, because you were on fire last Sunday and I was not. But I made up for it during the week, and you know that's neither here nor there. But the thing of it is that we're going to talk a lot about baseball in the next 45 minutes. Yep. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I have some very important information for you. Write this down or get to a computer immediately.
I'm there, Roy. Go.
Go to yahoo.com.
All right, hold on. Damn, that's hard.
Go to fantasy football and join our league. Bruce and I compete against us in fantasy football. League ID number 465413.
Repeat that, please.
465413.
One more time. Give everybody a chance to get a pencil or a pen, Roy. What's that number again?
465413. And we'll put this up on our Twitter account and Facebook. And Facebook and on the website.
We're going to let you guys play against us. And if you win, and you got to beat us, I mean, we're not going to give you anything if you lose.
Nothing.
Losers!
You'll get nothing if you lose. This is not participation trophy Little League. Okay, this is grown men's. This is some grown man ass. So join the league. Join it. You type that.
Join something
that,
for crying out loud.
You type that ID number in. The password, I think, is football one.
And listen, we're not going to let you damn cheat like the like this book says the Patriots
do. Yeah, no putting
no
extra
cheating
wires into your
ear.
Yeah,
you can't have you can't jam the frequency of the opposing teams.
That.
You know what? Have you ever noticed when those guys pick up their headsets and go, "I got nothing"?
Yeah.
Now we know what it is.
Yeah, if you're playing in Foxborough.
Well, even if you're not playing in Foxborough, I think I've seen it everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you got
that. Hey, it's went blank.
Hey, it's just
the
one
Barney
time.
Song.
Oh my God! I can't. Hey, I'm hearing like Hispanic music going on here. Not a, what is this?
So join that fantasy football league and compete against us. We'll put the link for it on our Facebook, Twitter, and website, so you guys can get involved.
Listen, everybody always likes to hear who our picks are. On the weekend, we pick Sunday's games, and I'm going to go. I tell you what, if you'd like, go to MLB.com right now. It's very easy to do. MLB.com, click on it, like I just did, and go to schedule, and it's going to have everything here. You click on, if you go over to Sunday, we're going to go right down right now, Roy, and this is up to you, buddy. I'm going to kick your butt today, buddy.
I'm on fire.
He beat me like a redheaded stepchild last Sunday.
I destroyed.
Boston and Cleveland, two teams going absolutely nowhere. Hey, I wonder how that Bobby Valentine show is doing on WFA. What?
It was,
what station is it on? Is it on the Fan?
No, it was on
another station. It's on another station. I bet that's a good show right now. Boston.
Man. You are one pathetic loser.
You know what? A lot of people think that he's going to make it throughout the entire year. I agree. I don't think it's Bobby's. Well, okay, maybe he's not going to make it. I don't know.
Don't.
You got John Lester going against a kid named Kluber from Cleveland. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm
passing on that game. They suck, both teams. New York, Yankees. Now, I'm going to talk about the Yankees here in a little while, but CC goes down. He's on the 15-day DL again because of his elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
And when you're 300 pounds and you're the big and you're the ace of the New York Yankees, the reason they shut him down, he wanted to pitch this coming week, and Girardi said no because he'd rather he sat now so that come playoff time, he's healthy. And I totally agree with that. There's still five or six games out in front, but they got Hughes going against J.A. Happ. Happ's not a bad guy. Yeah. I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
I'm not playing this game either.
I'm not either, because the Yankees aren't exactly kicking butt right now. I'm going to pass on that game. The Los Angeles Dodgers, Dale Capuano, who around All-Star time was up to be an All-Star pitcher for the Dodgers. He had an ERA in the mid-2s. He's not quite as good as he used to be, and he's going against LeBlanc from Miami. Miami's won 2 in a row from the Dodgers in Miami. I'm passing.
I'm taking the Dodgers.
Well, you good. And you know what? I hope they get their butts reamed
mainly because I just watched a documentary on Fernando Venezuela.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for the Dodgers, Venezuela will not be throwing today. Kansas City, you got Chen, who used to pitch for the Baltimore Orioles, against Tommy Hunter with Baltimore. I had Baltimore yesterday. I got beat with Baltimore. It was like one of my big plays. I'm passing on this game because it seems like every single time that Chen pitches against Baltimore, he wins. But Baltimore needs the game. I'm going to pass on this game. How about you, Roy?
I'm passing.
All right.
No, like I said before, I said a couple – was it last weekend or 2 weekends ago? I said I don't bet four or against the Orioles. I don't touch them. They are a very confusing bunch of athletes out there down in Baltimore, and I don't touch them.
Let me just tell you something. We're 25 minutes from Camden Yards, right?
Yeah.
Where we sit right now, mm-hmm, in Columbia, Maryland, in Matt's beautiful studio. I got to tell you something. If it wasn't for the PGA golf tournament being on today until dusk, like I said, which is like 8 o'clock tonight, I'd be in Camden Yards watching that game. I'd just leave here and go watch it. I haven't been to Camden Yards all year, Roy. Now, listen, Ohlendorf for San Diego. San Diego's been playing pretty good lately. They're up against, this is my pick of the day, Pittsburgh's got Eric Bedard, who used to pitch for the Orioles, and he also pitched for the Seattle Mariners. Bedard just threw a shutout 6 days ago. Mm-hmm. Take Pittsburgh here. I want to say he's like minus 170. You should be okay with that number. Take Pittsburgh. It's my play. How about you? You
yeah,
gonna take San Diego?
No, of course not. I got Pittsburgh.
Copycat. St. Louis has got Lynn, who made the All-Star team and sucks, in my opinion, compared to... Oh, by the way, the three people, if you love baseball, you'll love me. The three top earned run averages in the National League for starters all did not make the All-Star team for Tony La Russa's National League All-Stars. You got Vogie, Ryan Vogelsong, who we interviewed on the show about a month ago. It was a spring training interview, but we played it on the show. There's two other pitchers that I can't think of right now who are I know, Johnny Cueto with Cincinnati's like 2.32, and another guy. So, you know, if you're a great – and they didn't even need those three guys. They still won the game. But anyway, Worley is pitching for Philly. He's pitching really well. Guess what? I took St. Louis because they're on fire with the bats. Who do you like? Take Philly.
I don't want to take Philly.
All right, good.
I'm going to pass on
All right,
this
good. Milwaukee, now you've only picked one team so far.
I have two.
Right?
I have Dodgers.
Okay.
And I have Dodgers.
Yeah, because last week you came up with 9 after I swear you picked 5.
I had 7.
Gallardo.
Now you only have Pittsburgh here, right?
Yeah. No.
Right?
I've got Pittsburgh and St. Louis.
St. Louis, okay.
Yeah. Milwaukee's at Houston. God, Houston's like won 2 out of 3 games. What? Stop the league. Give him the game ball. I pass. I hate this game.
No, don't, not touching it.
I am not either. Bartolo Colon in Oakland is going against a great pitcher, Sale, with the Chicago White Sox. White Sox got beat yesterday. I'm taking them today against Colon and the Oakland A's. Who do you like?
Give me the A's.
Oh, God, we're head-to-head there. I'm taking Chicago. Tampa Bay, Shields. By the way, the Tampa Bay Rays have a 2.28 ERA as a team since the All-Star game. Let me repeat that. 2.28 as a team. Unfortunately, they hit like a high school team. And that's the problem that Tampa Bay has, and that's still why they're 5 or 6 games behind the Yankees. They got Diamond pitching for Minnesota, who I want to say is like 11-4. He's really good.
He's 10-5, yeah.
Yeah, I'm passing on this game.
I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, because Tampa needs to win. Shields
Tampa Bay needs to win. You know, these are two very good pitchers going up against it, and then it'll come down to bats for me. And I don't think either of these teams really have you know, definite
well,
bats.
Well, Minnesota's going nowhere, first and foremost.
That's definitely true.
Tampa Bay has a chance, and a lot of people are picking Tampa Bay to be a wild card team in the American League.
This is the game that I would call a trap game.
Well, it's a trap game for sure. Cincinnati, one of my favorite guys, Johnny Cueto, is going up against a kid named Rayleigh with Chicago. This is a mismatch. I'm taking Cincinnati. He's minus 230, Roy.
Yep.
I got to take him anyway. Sometimes you got to give the number, the big number. I'm giving it today.
We're both on the same page.
I'm taking the Reds. Cincinnati, you got Porcello against Yu Darvish. I hate Yu Darvish. I just don't like the way the guy looks. He's got 10 pitches and he sucks. I'm passing on this game. Who do you like? By the way, Texas is trying to figure out how to lose after having a 10-point lead early.
I got Detroit. Now, you had Texas there, right?
I'm not taking either.
Oh, well, I got Detroit.
You take Detroit.
You know I love them.
Yeah, I like Detroit, too. But they lost last night, which is why they should win today. Seattle, you got Vargas, who used to be with the Florida Marlins. When they were the Florida Marlins, now they're the Miami Marlins. They go against the Cy Young Award winner, in my opinion, in the American League right now. Weaver is 15-1, Jared Weaver. Hmm. And you know what he is? Minus 300. You going to take him? You got to win.
No, I'm not. I like the Angels a lot. I like the Halos. I like what Trout's doing out there.
I'm taking Weaver.
All right.
All right. Now, here's the Major League Baseball TV free game. If you go to MLB.com and go to MLB.tv, it's a free game. You know, you have to pay a little bit to watch it on your computer. It's Barry Zito going against Alex White. You know where Alex White is from?
I don't. Tell me.
Greenville, North Carolina. You know how I know? He went to the University of North Carolina. I went and saw him pitch in college. I wasn't even there to see him. I was there to see Kansas's Brett Bochy, who is tearing it up. You want to see how Bruce Bochy's son is doing? Go to RichmondFlyingSquirrels.com. And his
greatest logo in sports history.
They are. They had the best logo. I've seen him play three or four times this year. Brett Bochy has an ERA of about 1.6 something right now, and he also has a whip of like 0.77. It's the lowest whip in the entire minor leagues of all the pitchers. Brett Bochy will be in the major leagues, maybe not next year, but the year after. He's probably going to take over for Romo. He'll be the right-handed eighth inning guy, and he could be the closer, but I doubt it. They got a guy in Fresno that throws 100 miles an hour, and if his arm's okay, he'll be there. I'm not taking either San Francisco or Colorado here.
No, me neither.
I can't because it's Barry Zito. He could give up 10 runs in two innings. All right, here's your team.
The Washington
Nats. I'm not taking either.
I don't want to.
That's Colorado, San Francisco. Roy's keeping track of this because I don't trust him. Washington, you got Detweiler against Arizona, Corbin.
National debt.
You know what? Washington has won six games in a row. They're 8 out of their last 10. They're 6-0 on the road right now. They've won 71 games, and they have the best record in the National League. I'm taking Detweiler. He looked so good last time out. I can't imagine them losing this game. How about you, Roy?
I'm going to pass.
I'm a homer.
I'm at my limit of teams that I felt comfortable playing.
I'm a homer.
This week, which at five. You took six.
A homer. I'm not done yet. Atlanta plays the New York Mets.
Oh, you're right. I have it.
John Neese. Are you going to take Johnny Neese? I'm going to take Sheets for Atlanta.
I lied. I had Atlanta. Yeah.
I'm taking Atlanta, too. I'm taking Atlanta, too. All right, Roy, how many do I have? How many picks did I take?
You have seven.
How many do you have?
Six.
All right, good. At least now I know you won't cheat.
And on the
hey,
other
listen,
side
we've
break,
had a great show so far.
We do, and on the other side, we're going to get our fantasy teams in, and we're going to figure out this fantasy football mess that's going on. Apparently, people are complaining they can't get in the league.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, listen, I love Twitter. I've already got 21,100 tweets since the start of football season last year.
Which is incredible to me.
And let me just tell you this. Heath Hembree, who is the closer for the Fresno Grizzlies, which is the AAA team, he's pretty big on Twitter, too. He just put up, pass the ball, Kobe. You got to love that. It sounds like it's a close game. What's the score of this game?
Yeah, last time I looked up, it was tied. So,
you know, I'm looking at Grant Paulson, Mike Wise, you know, guy, they're all over this. Mike Wise keeps talking
Mike
about
Mike Wise is over in London. He's actually
I think he's still there. He might be on his way back. I think he's watching this on TV. 7 straight points for Pau Gasol, 67-64 Spain. That was 26 minutes ago though.
95-87.
Who, us?
Yeah.
We're shaving. I'm just kidding. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm telling you. They were -19.5. -19.5.
Yeah, but they have.
Guarantee you they don't win by 20. Guaranteed.
Okay.
Are they going to win by 20? No. I'm embarrassed. I'm just embarrassed. An NBA All-Star team cannot beat
the
Gasol brothers.
They're not
shooters.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure they all went. Oh, my God. How are we going to beat the Gasol brothers?
Well, 3 of the starters for the Spanish team.
Oh, my God.
Play
how are we going to beat the Gasol brothers?
I'm a loser here.
I mean, come on. The Gasol brothers, they have a vertical combined of 1 foot.
They're very good players. It's a 10-point game.
Well, they're not going to go to 20, guarantee you, because the line was 19.5. Just saying.
Well, this is a very good basketball team that they're playing right now.
Yeah, it's Spain. Spain's not even as big as Texas, for Christ's sake. I mean, come on. Who are you talking to? You're talking to me. They got more teams in the state of Texas than they do probably in Eastern Europe. Roy, am I telling a lie?
Well,
I'm not telling a lie. I'm not. You could take the all-star team from the NCAA with all of the Texas teams and probably beat the Gasol brothers.
I don't know about
that. Oh, I think you could.
They're very good, and they're showing that they're very good now. Plus, there's Serge Ibaka.
The Gasol brothers on the New York Knicks. Did anybody ever think about that?
3 of the starters for the Spanish team, they all play together on the same club team year-round. So they're very familiar with each other. There's a chemistry.
Who is this sportsmancave.com guy? On with Brian O'Leary, author of Spygate. Oh, that's right. We had we're going to have to play that again sometime.
That was great.
Brian O'Leary, this guy is phenomenal.
Here.
He's like me. He's not scared. He's not scared to say what he believes, is he?
No, not at all.
Did you think?
I loved it.
Didn't you think he was a great interview?
That was
I got to give it to you. You're the guy that brought him on.
Yeah, thank you.
So bring me on somebody else like that.
I'll get you. You know who I want on?
I want Roger Goodell.
You tell me who you want.
I want Roger Goodell on my show next week, Roy.
Now, Bruce, before we get out of here.
And I'm going to call him God L, too.
We still have 10 minutes left, so don't think that I'm rushing anybody out of here. But we need to make sure that we get our fantasy picks in because we know that the world loves us. And I just want to say right now that, Bruce.
Didn't we just get our picks in?
I feel like, well, these are we need our fantasy players in now. I feel like Carmelo Anthony comes up limping. That's no good for you Knicks fans. But I can't, I feel like that guy who started the rotisserie league and he never won.
Could you repeat that? What was that? The
rotisserie league. I watched the documentary on a silly
little game.
It's hard
to say, right? Hey, look, I was in Wayne Welch's rotisserie league in 1984. Mm-hmm. First rotisserie league ever. We were written up in USA Today, $300 a team. It was easy. It gave you a reason to get up in the morning and look at a newspaper.
Well, there was a documentary on the first rotisserie league ever. It was these people in New York.
Oh, bull. That's crap.
They were writers, and they wrote books about it and everything like that.
We were writers.
We
had John Horshock. We had stars in our league.
The documentary is called Silly Little Game, and I just watched it. And I feel like the guy who wrote all the rules, and he never won. That's what I feel like now. Hey. I wrote all the rules of this fantasy competition we're having right here, and you're 2-0 against me, and you're not even – it's not like you're beating me. You're whooping me.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to say it right now. I'm taking the over in every Giant game until they don't cover the over. Did you see them the other night?
Yeah, they look good.
Their offense looked good. Their defense looked non-existent.
There's a reason why you don't hear anything out of Giant camp, and it's because
they want the Jets to take all –
They're doing things right.
They always do.
It's funny that the only people you hear talking – are the ex-Giants.
Jerry Reese, one of the top three or four GMs in the league. The only guy I hate is John Mara. And, oh, by the way, I read an article in the New York Post this morning about how the Redskins are going to stick it to Mara because, you know, remember when Mara came out and was the guy that was instrumental in getting them
the
fined
for
the whatever the Redskins did that was wrong? It was
salary cap.
Yeah, they were, like, using the rules to their advantage. Oh, Jesus, John, what a terrible thing. I sent John Mara. I told him he needed to get a what is Rooney Mara? What was the name of her? She had a tattoo, the girl with a...
Yeah, girl with a dragon tattoo.
I told him to go get a dragon tattoo, that she should be the general manager of the Giants. She probably knew more about football than him. By the way, you know what's going to happen?
Tell me.
The Giants want the Super Bowl in 2016, and they're not going to get it. You know why? Because Governor Christie in New Jersey is trying to get legalized gambling in New Jersey. And the league doesn't like that because for some reason they think nobody bets on football. Hey, Commissioner Goodell, you know, get a life, for Christ's sake. You're an idiot. The reason everybody likes pro football is because they bet on it. Moron. Don't worry about it. Get a team in Vegas, for Christ's sake. Who cares?
So they're not getting it? You're saying they're not getting it now?
They're not going to get it because I think Commissioner Goodell is going to give them a stiff arm and go, you know what? We're going to give it to Dan Snyder and the Redskins because they've got a better plan. Tell you what the Redskins and Dan Snyder better do if they get one. They got to put 15,000 seats back in the stadium that they've taken out in the last 2 years.
Well, this says 2014 Super Bowl New York, New Jersey wins bid to host game. And I've seen the logo for it, too.
It's not going to happen. They're going to pull it. I'm just telling you.
All right.
It's in the New York Post. Well, I'll even tell you who
They already have logos for it and everything.
You know what? They had a logo for some team in Washington 20 years ago for a baseball team.
There it is.
It's not going to happen.
It's got snowflakes and everything.
That's a proposed thing. That's proposed. It's not going to happen. Trust me.
All right. Well,
you got to trust me.
I'll trust you.
Don't you
for
trust
a little
me?
Bit.
It has to do with the league.
Well,
it has to do with the league.
Maybe you're right. But let's get on to these fantasy teams.
Okay? Go ahead. All right.
Everybody knows the rules by now, hopefully. You take two pitchers, three position players. You get a point for each statistical category.
And this is for today, correct?
This is for today only.
All right.
Yes.
You know what? I'm not even going to look at who's available.
So if you have if you play fantasy baseball, you're in a rotisserie league.
MLB.com.
Listen closely to the words we are about to say because these are the people you want starting today in your leagues. And I'm going to get my first win today. So, Bruce, since you're the winner again, this seems like clockwork, you get first pick. Again, two pitchers, three position players. You get a point for each statistical category.
All right.
Go.
Here's what I'm going to do. My first pitcher is going to be Eric Bedard, Pittsburgh. I'm taking my pitchers first because I think it's that important.
I know. You always take your
pitchers
first.
And I've won both of them, right?
You have. You have one.
Funny how that works.
I know. Isn't that hilarious?
It's freaking amazing.
I'm going to take Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I'm going to take the 15-1 Jared Weaver of the Los Angeles Angels. God, you're done. So I'm 2-0 with my pitchers already. Now I got to pick somebody else.
I'm going to take Phil Hughes.
You took Phil Hughes?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to take the right-handed Mike Trout with the Angels because he's going up against left-handed Vargas from Seattle.
And you know, while you're taking Trout, and that might all well be good, it's probably a good pick, I'm going to stay in L.A., and I'm going to take Winnie the Pujols.
He's such a fatso. He needs to lose weight. You know who I didn't take? I didn't take Sale, and I love him. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
You need two more position players, and I need a pitcher.
Yes, I do. I'm going to take Matt Holliday of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why I did that, but I did.
I'm going to take, since you're taking Weaver, I might as well just keep it in the house and go Vargas.
All right, don't shoot me here, but I'm taking Derek Jeter, oh, by the way, do you know what Derek Jeter did yesterday?
Tell me.
He became the second player, people in New York, listen to this, and North Jersey, if you're a Derek Jeter fan, listen. He became the second player in the history of Major League Baseball to have 17 seasons in a row with 150 hits or more. Do you know who the other player was that did that?
Tell me.
Take a guess. You're too young to know. Hank Aaron.
Okay.
So it's Derek Jeter and Hank Aaron on a pedestal.
Those are pretty good
Pete
games.
Rose had only done it 16 in a row because he was injured twice during his tenure. And I checked because I went, how did Pete Rose not do that? And by the way, if Pete Rose isn't voted into the Hall of Fame this year, the Hall of Fame means nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
It means cheaters don't get in.
Well, no. Well, okay, then none of the juicers can get in.
That's fine.
Yeah, no, but they're all going to get in. They've already said they're all going to get in.
I know. See, that's where
they're all going to get in.
And I'm taking my last guy.
Oh, you're on drugs.
Right here.
I want a drug test.
And I'm pulling the extreme homer card. And I'm taking Jason Worth.
Jason Worth? He sucks!
He's been hot as
you know, lately. He may not even play today. You know why? Because Bryce is starting today.
Well.
You sure you don't want to take somebody else? Are you sure?
I'm taking Jason Worth.
All right. Jonathan Neese is a lefty pitcher for the Mets. So I need a right-handed hitter for Atlanta.
Well, we've had our five. That's our five. We're done.
Did I take
Unless you want to swap somebody out. You want to make some trades or something?
Did I take three hitters?
Well, you took Trout, Holiday, and Jeter.
That's perfect. That's all I want.
That's perfect.
So I'm 3-0 now? I'm 3-0?
You're 2-0. Don't jump to conclusions here. This is the third week we've been doing this, and you have whooped me every single week doing this.
Hey, let's go over today's picks just real quick. Once again, neither of us like Boston or Cleveland. Good reason, too. Nobody in Boston or Cleveland likes Boston or Cleveland. I think you took the Yankees. No, or did you pass
on
them?
No, we passed on
them. We passed on them. The Dodgers, you took the Dodgers.
I took the Dodgers.
I did not. Kansas City and Baltimore, I didn't take either one.
Neither of us.
San Diego, I took Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we both took Pittsburgh.
St. Louis, I took St. Louis. You took Philly.
I did not take anyone.
Oh, you didn't take anybody. Okay.
You took St. Louis, though.
Milwaukee and Houston, I didn't take either.
Neither.
Oakland, I took the White Sox.
You took the Sox. I took Oakland.
Oh, that you know what? That's going to be the one that probably buries one of us. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, Tampa, I passed on that game.
So did I.
Cincinnati, I took Johnny Cueto.
We both took Cincinnati.
Detroit, Ricky Porcello. I love that kid. Do you know that Porcello, he had TJ surgery 2 years ago. He came back. He was strong. You Darvish, what's the deal with this guy? They gave him like $1 billion, and he's not winning anymore. What's the deal? Did you take either of those?
I took Detroit.
I did not.
I've been high on Detroit all year.
I took Weaver. You did not.
Yeah, you took Weaver.
I took Weaver. Colorado, White and Zito. You know, I'd love to see Barry get another W here. White's not going to win. Now, yesterday, the San Francisco Giants loaded righties because they had a lefty pitcher, Drew Pomeranz, who got shelled. The Giants won 9-3 yesterday. White's just as bad, but they're going to have to load lefties against White. He's the kid I told you about from Greenville, North Carolina.
By the way, if you have a Colorado starting pitcher on your fantasy
you
team,
suck.
Get rid of him.
Yeah, well, did you see what their...
They're all on pitch counts. What is it, 80 pitch counts?
Did you see what their bullpen ERA is? It's like 8.
Don't.
Their bullpen, if you get to their bullpen and you lose, you suck because they're terrible. And I don't know how Jim Tracy, I have no idea how Jimmy Tracy can even, did you see him get thrown out the other day? He took a hat, you know, a regular hat you wear on your head, took two hands on it and threw it down at his feet like he needed two hands to throw it to the ground because he got tossed. I'm Bruce Hall. It's been a great show,
it has
Roy.
Been fun.
Roy, what was the name of the guy that
Ryan O'Leary.
Tell him how they can get his book.
Spygatebook.com or on Amazon. You can get it for the Nook, Kindle, all that good
that
stuff.
That was one of the most interesting guys I've ever heard, and it happened to be on our show.
Yep, and if you missed it, go to BruceHallSports.com.
Go to BruceHallSports.com. Matt will arrange it so you can hear everything. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's been a great day. Have a great day. Go home and watch golf. See you next week, people.